This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, the very easily distinguished sound, heavy bass line, Anthony Kiedis vocals. I love the video. Is it Californication, the one they did on the roof of the building that was on the beach where they're from in Southern California? I don't know. It's a great video. Red Hot Chili Peppers. I would love to see them live one time. I probably wouldn't. I hate to say things like I wouldn't fit in with that crowd, but it's probably a pretty diverse crowd. I mean, people my age.
I was going to say, that'd be your crowd, Brad.
I was going to say, Red Hot Chili Peppers, those guys might be older than I am.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to say how old I am, but I feel like the Red Hot Chili Peppers guys are older than I am. The drummer, Will Ferrell. Looks like Will Ferrell anyway. By the way, this is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, live from the Rally House Studios. And I have posted a photo on my Twitter account, at Brad K. Porter, posted a photo of the hat from Rally House that is currently here on display on the mannequin. It's a little weird to see it on a mannequin. And I've been frightened by this mannequin a couple of times. I've walked into the studio, and it's like at night, if I'm doing like a night show here at WHB, I'll walk in, and I won't notice it at first, and then I'll turn around, and it's right behind me, and I'll be like,
When I'm the only one here and I go out on the porch to smoke cigarettes and then I come back in and I completely forget. And yeah, trust me, there are some moments where I'm like, yeah. Oh my God.
The nighttime is the worst. That mannequin will get you. But I posted pictures on the Twitter account of the hat that you can get at Rally House. The one on the plaza is the one that I go to. So check it out. I like it. I think it's cool. By the way, just wrapping up our conversation from last hour, Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com was bringing the sexy to the show. He compared taking too many three-pointers in a game to having too many buttons unbuttoned on your shirt at the club. And I thought that was a good analogy. So Fitz wrapped up after we said goodbye. He tweeted back, well, that segment went well. And then he says, buttons up shirt, walks away. So brought the sexy to the show. Now he's going to have brunch and going back to bed and probably playing with his dog. So a guy who has no problem bringing the sexy to the show is Jarrett Sutton. And the reason I say that, Jarrett Sutton, former Missouri star, now working for the SEC Network and scouts for the NBA. The reason I say that, Jarrett, is I think the Border Patrol guys have a man crush on you. And that's well deserved. That's earned, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's tough to top Tim Fitzgerald in the basketball analogies with the club. I have mad respect there, first of all. I'll start there. But yeah, I mean, you know, going on with Steven and Nate, I don't know if I'm ever going to top Matt Beasler. But
no, anyway.
Being that conversation, I'll take that. That's a win for me, I guess.
Yeah, with Matt Beasler, I love Matt Beasler, but I don't get to Nate's level because I knew Matt when he was a high school kid at Blue Valley West. I think we may have done when I was at my former life at the channel formerly known as Metro Sports. I think we did a couple of his games, and I'm pretty sure we shot highlights and did a story and all that. So that's a little weird, but I like the kid. I think he's a great kid. He's a great representative of Kansas City and great family, his wife, and now he's got the second one is on the way. Is that right? I think I saw him tweet that out a couple of weeks ago.
But
Just like you, Jarrett, you moved to Kansas City, and you're a great pillar. You're a man about town. You're involved in so many things, and you're involved with charity work as well, and you're a great asset to the community. So how about that?
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot. Casey means a lot to me, and it's kind of, you know, it's crazy. I would say I grew up watching you on Metro Sports. I grew up, you know, addicted to Kansas City sports. I listen to Sports Radio 810, and now to be on the show and go on the Border Patrol. I mean, I have to pinch myself sometimes because I always enjoy being on with some faces and some voices that I grew up listening to when I was at Oak Park and growing up in the Metro, and Kansas City is such a sacred place in my heart. I love this city, and it's an honor to be on the show.
I appreciate you saying those kind things, and I loved over the years going up to Oak Park to do stories because I'm a native Northlander. I live in Waldo now, but I grew up north of the river, so love going up there, and I did a story. I think I did one or two stories on Agbaje and his sister over the years at Oak Park. His sister is was on the team at the volleyball team at Texas that played for a national championship, and now Ochai is going to play at the University of Kansas. So,
yeah,
good Oak Park stock there. So, you want to talk Missouri basketball?
Let's do it. I do have to add too.
Sure.
Since I am an Oak Park alum and obviously Ochai committing to Kansas, he is the first, because I didn't sign with Missouri. I was a walk on. So he's the first player from Oak Park to go to a Power 5 school and sign on the dotted line, which is a great thing for Oak Park. And so many people have come up to me and said, hey, how could you not twist his arm and tell him to go to Mizzou? And I'm going, you know, hey, the guy's 45 minutes from Lawrence, one of the best players in the metro area, has put Oak Park on the map. I'm pulling for Ochai. He could go anywhere, and he picked Kansas, and I'm going to cheer for him. And I'm excited for KU fans to get to see this kid, not only on the floor, but off the floor. He's a tremendous kid. So I just have to throw that in there, how proud I am of Ochai and what he's done for the high school and what he's going to do in his future at Kansas.
I agree with you 100%. And years from now, when it's all over, I would love to see a driveway game between Ochai, his sister, and the parents who were both players in college. I think at Wisconsin Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Yeah.
All right, so Missouri basketball.
trying to
avoid it because, look, Jarrett, this is how I watch TV on a Saturday if I get the chance. I want to watch, and yesterday was stacked perfect with KU playing at 3, Mizzou playing at 5, and K-State kind of in there as well. I love to be able to watch all the local teams, and UMKC was playing yesterday. Love to watch all the local teams, and on a Saturday, if 3 or 4 of those teams win, that's a good Saturday for me because I like them all. So Kansas gets it started. Good win for them, 14 conference championships. K-State, the air came out of the tires on that one. And then Mizzou, I'm thinking we rally at night, right? We're going to rally. We're going to have a good performance in Lexington. Maybe not win, but man alive, Jarrett, if I don't think Missouri could come out more flat. And it almost looked like they were overwhelmed a little bit by the atmosphere in Lexington. Was that the impression you got, or was this just a bad game? To me, they looked overwhelmed a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I look back on some previous years where Missouri played at Kentucky, and there was that sense of, man, Rupp is an exciting, thrilling place to play. It's overwhelming, like you touched on. I do think this team has had issues starting games on a good note. They've had games where they come out playing really well, firing on all cylinders, and they have games where they really struggle. You go back to like the Illinois game, you know, they don't play well for 20 minutes. They come back in the second half, put together a great 20 minutes, claw back to get within, I think, 5, and they were down 20 plus against a team that's one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, and it's all about how they start the game. So I think you could say it's a couple things. Yeah, I do think it's, you know, Rupp's probably one of the most hostile venues to play in the SEC outside of Bud Walton Arena in Fayetteville. So that was a little bit of it. But I also think, you know, foul trouble, not getting off on the right foot, not making buckets around the rim. I thought they shot well from three-point range, but you just can't, you know, live and die with that. Jeremiah Tillman, Jontay Porter foul out of the game. And anytime Jontay, you know, scores the ball with one bucket and two free throws, that's not going to get it done. Jontay Porter's got to be a double-figure type of guy for Missouri night in, night out if they're going to have a chance to win, especially on the road in the SEC.
Yeah, Jontay just 1 for 8 in the game before fouling out, so not good. Cassius Robertson was the one bright spot, and he looked like, to me, it looked like he relished the moment a little bit, and maybe they needed that on a night when nobody else was really shooting that great. He goes 7 for 15, and long range, 6 for 11, which is outrageous on most nights, and also to have the sense to crash the boards for 8 rebounds. That's the one standout, finished with 26 points. But it looked like he kind of relished the moment. His college career is winding down. Big stage at Kentucky in a game when he's not getting a lot of help. He's the guy that looked like he really embraced the moment for Mizzou.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's just embraced this entire season, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a lot of people that have asked me, is he in contention for player of the year in the SEC just for the year he's put together?
Absolutely.
And I think I do think it's valid. You know, I know Yonte's in that discussion. There's a lot of guys that I think are in the running for player of the year in the league. But Cassius, I think if he doesn't get player of the year, he's got to be newcomer of the year. Particularly with that performance last night, to shoot 50% from the field, lead the team in rebounds and scoring. And he is a undersized guard, tough as nails, gym rat. I think he has played himself into being a professional basketball player. next season. I don't think that'll be in the G League, or I don't think that'll be at the NBA level. But he's going to make great money overseas. And the year he's having, having come from Canisius and really putting his name on the map. I think we've talked about this before, Brad. I think he's the best grad transfer that there has been. With the production that he's put together, six threes again last night, shoots it really well. He did his part, and you look down that stat sheet of other guys that just didn't really bring it. Jeremiah Tillman, obviously, the foul problems. Jonte, I don't think, really gave him much. And Kevin Poirier struggled.
He did only have
three rebounds. A guy that's really got to be impactful in multiple areas. I don't think he was as typical of a performance as we've seen from Kevin Poirier. And look, Kentucky's playing really good ball. I saw him against Arkansas in Fayetteville, I should say. And they look much better than when they played Missouri back in Mizzou Arena about a month ago. They're a different team. Kevin Knox is playing so much better. I think they're getting great production from Jared Vanderbilt finally. He came back with injury. Gilgeous Alexander's an NBA player. Great passer. So this team's kind of hitting stride at the right time. So you got to give a little credit to John Calipari and how he's turned this Kentucky team around to play some of their best ball right now at the right time.
There's some things, and we're talking with Jarrett Sutton, former Missouri Tiger, does work for the SEC Network, scouts for the NBA. There are some phrases or, I guess, situations that strike me as funny. And Cassius Robertson winning Newcomer of the Year, which he probably should do, it strikes me as funny just because he's a grad transfer. He's a senior. It's his only year. He'll be the newcomer of the year, and it's his only year. I wish we could have one more year. If only Cassius Robertson had been discovered at Canisius earlier, and he could have transferred after his freshman or sophomore year, we could have enjoyed him a couple of more years.
Yeah, I think Konzo Martin would probably say the same thing. I think he would wish to be able to coach him another year. And I've heard Cassius talk about this before, how he loves playing for Konzo and how he wished he could have, you know, played for Konzo his entire career. And I hope young players that are on this roster, you know, listen to that, because that's a guy that's been a veteran player, that's been through the ringer of college basketball, that's come from, you know, Canisius. Now he's at the SEC level playing for Konzo. And you can just see how much respect he has for Konzo and how much respect Konzo has for Cassius. And it's why he's been so good. I think that's why there's so much trust there. And Cassius Robertson is definitely a Konzo Martin type of player, and it's a great find for Coach Martin, and really gets, I think, me excited, and hopefully Mizzou fans excited about his ability to bring in talent and really, I think, scout talent and bring in the right guys that are going to fit his program.
All right, we're a week away from finishing the regular season. They'll be done next Saturday, so less than a week, and then it's tournament time. And I believe you're going to be doing double duty scouting the Big 12 tournament here in Kansas City and also the SEC tournament over in St. Louis, which is one of the stranger tournament setups. I don't know how the bracket actually looks on paper, but to have teams with two byes is, again, one of those things that strikes me as funny. But going into this final week, Auburn got upset on the road at Florida last night. Tennessee gets a win over an Ole Miss team that just beat Mizzou. South Carolina continues to have these struggles just a year after, you know, being in the Final Four. And Alabama, with, you know, one of their players gets caught up in the FBI investigation story that dropped, and they lose to Arkansas. So this SEC tournament, for as open as the Big 12 tournament is going to be, the SEC tournament could be equally as wide open.
Yeah, it is so wide open. I mean, you look at even the bottom of the league, Ole Miss beats Missouri, and it was the best I'd seen Ole Miss play all year. The best most energy they showed, best, I think, game shooting the ball that they've had. Then they turn around, and I want to say they were 1-for-20 from three at one point, and just did not shoot it well. And this is a team that can still beat, and it's fully capable of beating a team with the athleticism they have, and they got Terrence Davis that's, you know, should be an NBA player. He's fallen off the boards, but he's an NBA athlete. Vanderbilt's got some good wins. Vanderbilt beat Mississippi State earlier in the year. Mississippi State's third in the league now. It's just been back and forth. I mean, this league is a competitive league. There's really good teams. You know, Vanderbilt's playing without Matthew Fisher Davis. They're the worst team in the league with a 5-11 in league play. And they still got a couple of really good pieces and a couple of young players in Saban Lee that's going to be probably one of the best point guards in this league down the road. You can just kind of see the development of him as a freshman. Then you talk about Texas A&M. That was the team that was, you know, going to be at the top of this league, had two NBA forwards. They have 6'8 guards. They should be one of the best teams in the league. They start 0-4 in the league. I mean, it's just been back and forth. It's been beating up on each other. There's been upsets every week, it feels like. And so when you go into the SEC tournament, I think it's just wide open. I mean, I think I would still I think Auburn is still the best team in this league, but they're vulnerable. Tennessee's tough. Kentucky's playing their best basketball. Arkansas is up and down. Daniel Gafford's an NBA player. I mean, you look at Florida with Chris Chigmaitfan. You know, they got Jalen Hudson, who's an NBA player. There's a lot of talent. There's good coaching. And that, to me, is the statement of why this league is right behind the ACC, in my opinion, for best league in college basketball. And a big reason why, at this point, they still have 8 teams going to the NCAA tournament. I think the committee is fully respecting the SEC and what it's done, as opposed to years past where the SEC really didn't get much credit at all. Perfect example of that is Andy Kennedy at Ole Miss. He had multiple 20-win seasons.
Yeah, only absolutely.
Only went to the NCAA tournament 2 times. The reason why that is because the SEC really didn't have much respect, and now it finally does.
All right, we're talking with Jarrett Sutton. Follow him on Twitter, at Jarrett T. Sutton. That's a lot of T's in there, Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
Get your stuff for
all the time. I get it all the time.
The Mizzou and SEC and scouting for the NBA. Before I let you go, I got about 2 minutes here. The NBA game this afternoon here on Sports Radio 810 WHB is at 3 o'clock. San Antonio at Cleveland. San Antonio's lost 4 in a row. Kawhi Leonard either doesn't want to play or doesn't feel right. He's been medically cleared, whatnot. But the game I want to ask you about, going back to yesterday, Golden State Warriors at home against Thunder. Warriors win 112-180, but now Russell Westbrook is accusing Pachulia of purposely falling on his legs, trying to hurt him. Pachulia has been called out by other players around the league at different points. And it looked like a Thunder team that was getting its backside kicked and didn't like it and wanted to pick out a moment and say, you know, kind of, this is the reason. But the Thunder are further away than where I thought they would be at this point of the season, considering some of the moves they made in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, right now the Philadelphia 76ers have a better record than the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And that's amazing. I can't believe that.
It's amazing to say that, considering all this tank discussion with the Sixers with Sam Hinkie back in the day. It's good to see. I think Philadelphia is such a great NBA market. I want the Sixers to be good because I think it's good for the league. That's a side note. But going back to Pachulia, I mean, he's had this history.
Yes.
I don't ever want to call a player a dirty player because I think it's the worst thing you can say about a player. But he's just had so much history of this. Guys are competitive, right? We've talked about this with Draymond Green, back in the day.
Kicking guys in the you-know-what.
Kicking guys, yeah. I mean, is Draymond a dirty player? There's always this conversation that's going to happen with guys that sometimes go too far. And I watched the clip of Russ getting with Pachulia coming over the top. Clear as day that Pachulia didn't have to do that. He didn't have to jump on him, jumped on his legs. I think Russ is going to be fine. Russ is an intense guy. He takes things and wears it on his sleeve. I think he's a very sensitive guy sometimes as far as, if you rub him the wrong way, he's not going to forget it. See Kevin Durant and the situation.
They get into it all the time.
Yeah, and this Golden State-Oklahoma City rivalry, it's been going on for years now. Kevin Durant has been involved in it now as going from Oklahoma City to Golden State. But even when he was with Oklahoma City, I mean, this was still a heated rivalry. So, I think, first of all, Oklahoma City is in a rough place. Carmelo Anthony was minus 26 last night and is plus minus. And, Carmelo was, a good acquisition for them, but they really struggle defensively. You saw it against Golden State. The Warriors, such a great passing team. They closed the third quarter on a 14-0 run. That's just shades of Golden State. And remember, before the All-Star break, what Steve Kerr said about how he wanted the All-Star break, and this team needed it. They needed to regroup. They needed some time off. They needed to get away from each other. That's really important. The NBA season is so long, and really with Golden State, it's just managing the season before they get to the playoffs, and then that's when they hit another level. But I thought last night you saw vintage Golden State Warriors. Stephen Curry was plus 24 in that game. Anytime he's above plus 20 and it's plus minus, Golden State pretty much is going to win that game regardless, because that's Steph doing it on both ends of the floor. And you look at their roster, Steph's probably the most vulnerable defender. And that's the only thing I really worry about with Gold State is what they do defensively. And so when Steph guarding, Golden State just shines, and they shot it really well as usual, as they've done quite a bit. Kevin with 4-3, Steph with 5. I like the Warriors. I think they're still the team to knock off. I'm curious to see what happens when we get the playoffs when they match up with the Rockets, because that's going to be one of the more fun, intense series we've seen in the NBA in a long time.
And that'll be fun for my kids, because they both like the Warriors. One likes Durant, one likes Curry. But then the one who likes Durant also is a huge James Harden fan. So that's going to be huge, and somebody's going to be upset. So, Jared, I appreciate you talking a little NBA with us along with the Missouri Tigers, because we love, like I said, the last few years I've really gotten back into loving the NBA again. So I appreciate it, and thank you for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And it's almost tournament time, man.
Almost tournament time. Brad, great to be with you. But I'll also say, too, this is the best time of the year, because you're going into the conference tournament, then you got the NCAA tournament, and then what follows, you think there's going to be a break, and then it's NBA playoff time.
Right.
So it just kind of runs and runs together, and it's going to be a lot of fun, both on the college side and on the NBA side.
And NBA playoffs go from April till roughly October. So,
exactly right.
Hey, Jarrett, thank you very much. Have fun.
All right, thanks, Brad.
All right, that is Jarrett Sutton. Follow him on Twitter, at Jarrett T. Sutton. So there's three T's in there. Yeah, because apparently there's other Jarrett Suttons. So follow him. Coming up next, we're going to take a quick timeout. Matt Verderam from FanSided covers the Kansas City Chiefs. Going to join us if you want to get his thoughts on the Marcus Peters trade and what could be coming back for the Chiefs, what should be coming back for the Chiefs, and whether or not Matt has survived the weekend, because he's not happy about this like many other Chiefs fans. All right, this is Sports Sunday, live from the Rally House Studios. I am Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show with our pick-me-up music today. We're having some fun today in the Rally House Studios. Had a lot of good guests today. This is 2 days in. We got two home runs, two touchdowns, two slam dunks in a row, so to speak. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, Jarrett Sutton, former Missouri Tiger, now with the SEC Network and scouts for the NBA. And now to bring us down the stretch, Matt Verderam from FanSided, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs. Matt, I cannot imagine what the big story has been for you this week for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, you know what? This has been a wild week, and you usually don't get that at the end of February in the NFL, but you know, Marcus Peters getting dealt. I was very vocal on Twitter all week saying there is no way. Anything I had heard, anything I had been speaking to anybody about was, hey, he's not going to get moved. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he gets dealt. And give credit to Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk for being on that a few weeks ago. They were dead on. But I was stunned. I really was.
I think I'm in the same boat with you, Matt. I'd heard wind about it for, you know, I think we all heard the whisper campaign for the last couple of weeks. And then when I saw Jason LaCanfora tweet out that he had heard that the Chiefs were shopping Marcus Peters and it could happen within the next week or two, my problem is I immediately discounted it because Jason LaCanfora trolls Kansas City all the time. He trolls the Royals. He trolls the Chiefs. He does it all the time. And so I discounted it without using my head. And I had posted something on Twitter about it. And like within minutes of me posting it, I get a phone call that says, dude, you may not like what Jason said, but a lot of people are hearing the same thing, including me. And then I was like, and the person I talked to, I was like, oh boy, if somebody knows, he knows. And you're right. Even though the talk had started, I really didn't think it would get there. I thought it would be exploratory at best, but to have this all go down so quickly is stunning to me.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, there was no surprise, I think, for most people that they would be open to entertaining an offer, because I think almost any player in the NFL is open to, you know, having offers entertained about them. You're talking about maybe a select few guys, mostly quarterbacks, that a team just wouldn't even think about dealing. And with Peters, you know there's been running. You know about the suspension. You know about all those types of things. So I don't think that's shocking. What was shocking was that they, A, pulled the trigger on the deal, and B, that they did it so quickly. You know, very much like with the Alex Smith thing, they could have waited, and they just went right ahead and did it, and we still don't know what the compensation is. Reports are that there's no first-round pick involved. It reeks of they felt very pressured to get rid of him as soon as possible, which, considering his talents, is surprising.
And I tell you what, Matt, the 101 Awards Banquet was here in Kansas City last night. The 101 Club here in town hands out awards for the top players in the National Football League and the top coaches. They all come to Kansas City usually. And Peyton Manning was here last night. Tony Gonzalez is going into the Chiefs Hall of Fame. He was here and honored. And one Sean McVay was in Kansas City last night to accept the NFC Coach of the Year honors. Among the other winners, but he was with his player. And I tell you what, when they had the press conference with Sean McVay in the same room with other Chiefs people, along with the Kansas City media, I have never heard or seen a bigger elephant in the room. Because Sean McVay can't talk about it without being charged with tampering, but everybody in the room wanted to talk about it.
It's a rough spot, really, for both sides. And if you're the Rams, you don't want to screw up anything with this deal because you're getting an all-pro corner. And, you know, the interesting thing to me is that the compensation hasn't been leaked. Because we're now, you know, 2 days out from when it was announced by Adam Schefter on Twitter, and we're still sitting here. Nobody knows what they got. You know, there's been reports they didn't get a first-round pick. There's not a player involved. But nobody knows what the package of picks are. And, you know, there's a lot of theories as to why maybe the Chiefs don't want it to be leaked because they feel like it's a pretty good haul. Maybe the Rams don't want it to be leaked because they don't want it to be, somehow superseded by another team before it can go official on March 14th. But I really think it doesn't matter in some ways. No matter what they get, if Peters plays well in Los Angeles, they lost this trade. I don't think there's any two because they're not getting another Marcus Peters. And, you know, if the Chiefs – look, if the thing blows up in Los Angeles and Peters it goes totally awry – then the Chiefs are somewhat vindicated. But right now, the Rams look like a much better team because of it, and the Chiefs, who had major issues defensively last year, especially in the secondary, you've got to think that that leaves a gigantic hole where you once had a very young all-pro corner.
Yes, and I agree with all of that. And I mentioned the 101 Awards, not only Sean McVay getting the NFC Coach of the Year, but his running back, Todd Gurley, the NFC Offensive Player of the Year, and Aaron Donald, the NFC Defensive Player of the Year. And when this trade first surfaced, we still don't know the particulars, what's coming back to Kansas City, a lot of fans thought, well, Aaron Donald could be part of that package. First of all, no way. The Rams were never going to make Aaron Donald part of that package. But again, it's the unknowns. And I'll go back to this, Matt. We're talking with Matt Verderam from FanSided here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'll go to this, and this is where I've kind of stood on this for the last couple of days. The knowns are, we know he gets personal fouls on the field. He throws flags in the stands. He leaves the stadium and then comes back with no socks on. We know that. We know he got into an argument with special teams coach Dave Cobe, either on the bus or the plane after a game. We know that. We know he got dismissed from the University of Washington in his redshirt junior season. We know that. Those things have all been occurring for 3 years. Was that enough for the Chiefs to say, we can't deal with this anymore? Or is there got to be something else? Because to me, I look at those things and I think, at some point, I think he should mature. I think these are things that the team should be able to deal with and handle and work together to solve. I think that, but maybe there are other things we don't know about.
I think there better be to justify that trade because, look, all those things you just mentioned, they're all true, and they're all things that are issues, and I think, if you're a professional football team, you don't want to be dealing with that. But this is the NFL. This isn't Pop Warner football. Okay, so to me, if your biggest problem is that he takes the occasional personal foul and argues with a coach, I would present to you Travis Kelce, who also takes a bunch of personal fouls and throws coaches under the bus at times. And nobody's ever seemed to have a problem with that. And Travis Kelce is 28 years old. He's not 25. And look, I'm not advocating that they should be harsher on Travis Kelce. My point is, when you have a player of that magnitude, and both those guys fit that bill, you don't get rid of them unless it is absolutely unfixable. My read on it is, and this is just my opinion, that Andy Reid must have said, get him out of here. Because to me, you're not making this move without Reid's approval. And additionally, Reid ultimately, if he thought they could have fixed the situation, I feel like Reid would have done anything he could have to do that. You have to just think maybe the time had come and Reid just said, you know what, it's untenable, we've got to move on.
Well, as we wait for the hull to come back, and again, it's not being released yet, and they may wait, the Rams and Chiefs may wait until the 14th of March, the first official day of the new league season. But if the rumors are true that there is not a first-round pick as part of this package, what is a suitable return that does, because to me, a first-rounder is a must-have. But if you're not getting a first-rounder, what's the bare minimum the Chiefs have to get back to justify this trade?
Well, the Rams don't even have their second this year, so not getting that. I would say two-thirds and a second, maybe even like a late-round pick. But I got to tell you, you know, when that first was announced, I think everybody figured, okay, they're getting the first.
Right. I did.
There was a mindset, okay, they're going to get the 23rd overall pick this year, which is one spot back of what they would have been if they had kept their pick and not gotten Mahomes. So I think the general thought was, okay, they'll get that. Maybe they'll get a third or a fourth or whatever. The fact that if they're not getting a first for this, which, by the way, would speak to two things. One is they were as desperate as all get out to get rid of him. Number two, that no team in the league was offering a first-round pick for Marcus Peters speaks to that maybe there was more going on. Because if Chris Ballard in Indianapolis, and he did all the primary background when they drafted him, Chris Ballard has nobody at corner. They wouldn't offer a pick. Now, maybe not their first this year because they're drafted, you know, third overall, but I think that's got to be counted. Like, the idea that the Chiefs couldn't get a first-round pick for Peters either is a gross failure by Kansas City, or it says the teams were just absolutely turned off. They would not touch Peters with a 10-foot pole, and maybe that justifies the Chiefs moving on.
And that's another part of it is if there were only there was the Rams and one other team. That's what the story is. There were only two teams interested in even discussing it.
Right.
And at some point, the problem's not everybody else. It is you. And I've known people who have worked, not professional athletes. I mean, I know a bunch of professional athletes just because of what I do for a living. But I know people in other businesses who have worked with people or for people who had toxic personalities and created corrosive work environments, which executives were willing to put up with for a certain amount of time. But after a while, those people were told, you got to go. You can't stay here because if one person getting results makes it untenable for 25 other people, that it doesn't work anymore. And perhaps 3 years was enough. And like I said, I'm open to hearing that there were other things that we don't know about. I'm open to hearing that. But as of right now, it's still a stunner for me.
My guess would be that if the Chiefs continue to get killed for this when the compensation comes out, you're going to have that stereotypical leak story about what actually happened. Because
right.
It seems like to justify why they did stuff that's unpopular. So that would be my thought on it. Look, I think, too, it's a little bit of a perfect storm, right? He had a very dysfunctional year. He had a good year, but he was dysfunctional. And I think with Veach coming in, this is his first full offseason with the team. They're in the process of a total remake. If you want to call it a rebuild, that's fine, too. But they trade Alex Smith. They're getting rid of Derek Johnson. They're getting rid of Tom Bolley, I'm sure, at some point here. Maybe the Chiefs just felt, and particularly Brett Veach, hey, look, we're going to totally remake this roster. He's a problem. We're not paying him in a few years anyway. We're going to move on. We're going to take the picks. We're going to try to fix his defense with quantity. I don't know that that's the right move. But at the same point, I think it's a little bit of a perfect storm of why they said, hey, look, if there's ever a time to move him, now is it. Maybe they felt like if he played one more year there, it would have totally blown up and they would have got nothing for him. So I still hate it. I hate the move from a talent standpoint, but I also understand if it was totally untenable there, why they felt the need to to move on sooner rather than later.
And that goes to the other thing we talked about yesterday. By the way, you're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter in the Rally House Studios. We're talking with Matt Verderam from FanSided about the Chiefs and the trade of Marcus Peters. And that's the other side of this, is the total rebuild, whatever it is. You've already traded Alex Smith. Most Chiefs fans are on board. I'd say, what, 90% of Chiefs fans are on board with going with Patrick Mahomes? I'm sure of that, if not higher. But the Chiefs had not indicated, I mean, Derek Johnson's getting older, Tom Ahale's getting older. There had not been a clear indication as to whether or not this was going total rebuild yet. But the trade of Marcus Peters, as you mentioned, leads me to believe that this is a total rebuild year and that they're going to suffer. They're going to not go deep in the playoffs, which I don't know why you would expect them to anyway, because they haven't in 30 years. Or at least since the Joe Montana year when they got close. But this is a clear signal that this year is for experimentation and rebuilding. And the Chiefs need to be honest with their fans about that, if that indeed is what they're doing.
Listen, I think you're right on all fronts. And that begs the question, what's going on now with Justin Houston? Because theoretically, he's not getting any younger. And
he's not getting any healthier.
No, and they could cut him and save money. Now, I don't think they'll do that because I think he's a positive influence in the locker room, and he's still a very good player. But, you know, look, he goes out and gets another knee injury again. It's probably the end of Justin Houston, Kansas City. I mean, I think Chiefs fans need to be ready for what is outside of, you know, Berry, Raglan, maybe. You know, there are no sacred cows on that defense. They are going to totally overhaul, which, by the way, I will say on the negative side of all this with the Chiefs, begs the question, then why is Bob Sutton there?
And that's what a lot of fans are saying. Okay, you're keeping the coordinator who was in charge of one of the worst defenses in the National Football League, keeping that guy, but we're trading Marcus Peters.
I mean, that defense, listen, I agree, they got old. You know, a lot of fans just say they got old, they got slow. I agree on all fronts. But I have seen defenses with a lot less talent do a lot better than that. That defense was a disaster last year. And so to me, look, they get Berry back. You assume with his work ethic and his history, he'll be 100% or close to it. Kendall Fuller, he's going to come in and help. The only way that the Chiefs don't have to sell this as a rebuild is if they just go for broke in free agency. If they come out and sign, you know, two big-time guys on defense, like a Sheldon Richardson and Tremaine Johnson or something like that. But I think otherwise, you have to just, like you said, be honest and say, look, we're going with Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be a little bit of growing pains this year. If we win the division, great. But that would be more of a function that the AFC West is terrible than it is that we're a real contending team. And look, if you surpass expectations, great. But the idea that this team is currently constructed, going deep in the AFC playoffs, they haven't been able to do that with more talent in recent years. So it would be a tough sell.
And I'll just tell you this. If the Chiefs were to sign a Sheldon Richardson, who is a very good player, former Missouri Tiger, if they were to do that after cutting Marcus Peters, Sheldon Richardson's had his issues as well. Try to justify that one. If you try to justify that, holy smokes.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, I've had multiple people just on Twitter and in passing say, well, hey, if the Broncos cut Aqib Talib has had literal, like, criminal issues. Marcus Peters has never had that. So
I think Aqib Talib has had gunfights with his own family.
Yeah. So, you know, this idea that, well, Peters was a bad egg, but we can replace him with other bad eggs, that would be absurd.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're the Chiefs at this point. You've got some cap space once you get rid of Tom, but you're going to be around $30 million or so. If I'm Kansas City, I would look to be very defensive-oriented in this draft. Maybe pick up a piece or two in free agency, not anything crazy. You know, just some guys maybe with some high upside and go from there, because this team's going to be about its offense next year anyway. This team's going to be about Mahomes. It's going to be about that trio of Kelce, Hunt, and Hill. And you, if you're the Chiefs, you hope that offense, you hope Mahomes is everything you promised that he's going to be. You hope you have a top five offense next year, which I do think personnel-wise, if Mahomes is good, they're capable of. And then you hope that defense is just good enough to win 10 games and get you in the playoffs. And then next offseason, you really go for it. But they're going to have their challenges this year unless they really go for it in free agency.
All right, we're talking with Matt Verderam from FanSided. Chiefs trading Marcus Peters. Don't know what's coming back yet. Final question for you, Matt. I got about a minute left here. We know Philip Rivers is still going to be with the Chargers, we think. Derek Carr is going to be back with the Raiders. Pretty sure of that, considering the money. Chiefs are going with Patrick Mahomes. Who's going to be the quarterback for the Denver Broncos? Is it going to be Kirk Cousins? Is it going to be somebody else? Who's it going to be?
Well, we know Jacksonville is not going to go after him.
No.
I would say that Denver is going to go very hard after Kirk Cousins, offer him everything they can. I actually think it's the wrong move. I think Denver should go and use that number 5 pick on a quarterback and get a guy in a cheap rookie deal. But they, I don't think Elway's used to losing. I don't think he's going to be a big fan of a rebuild. So I think they're going to try and get Cousins. I think they probably even have maybe the catbird seat on him. And so, but I will say this. I still think the Chiefs, even with all this craziness this offseason, if Mahomes is good, they might very well win the division again. Because quite honestly, the Raiders are in their own version of a rebuild. Denver is terrible. And the Chargers are probably the biggest threat. But the Chargers have had a long history of injuries and all that. So, look, the Chiefs, if there's any silver lining for Chiefs fans, they still have a lot of talent on this roster, but it certainly feels like a transitional year.
All right. Well, you ended on a good note. You ended on a high note after everything else. So that's good stuff. Hey, Matt, thank you very much. Enjoy your Sunday, and we'll keep up to date, all right?
No problem, Brad. Take care.
All right, that's Matt Verderam from FanSided. Follow him on Twitter, @ Matt Verderam. Chiefs trading Marcus Peters. What's coming back? We don't know. And the Rams guys were all in Kansas City last night for the 101 Awards, which was very awkward for everybody because nobody could talk about it. So, anyway. All right, we got a one segment left in the show, so we'll wrap up with some final thoughts. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Sunday from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB coming your way live from the Rally House Studios. I'm your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is our producer today. Great guest today. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star talking KU basketball, 14 straight Big 12 championships, or at least a share of one. Try to win it outright Monday night, Big Monday, at Allen Fieldhouse against Texas. It is senior night for Devontae Graham, Svi Mykhailiuk, and Clay Young, pardon me. Three seniors on the team. So that'll be fun. By the way, coverage begins tomorrow night, Monday night, at 6 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's the Big Monday Jayhawk Game Day live show with Danny Klingscale live from Allen Fieldhouse. And then the Jayhawk Network pregame show at 6:30 and then tip-off at 8 o'clock for Kansas and Texas with the postgame show to follow. So Jesse Newell was here today. Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com. He brought the sexy to the show, talking about unbuttoning your shirt at the club, comparing it to taking too many three-pointers in a game. You got to know the limit. You got to know when to stop. Got to know when you've gone too far.
Fitz is a guy who maybe could take a lesson in that. Know when to stop. Know when you've gone too far. Fitz is great. You just never know where it's going to go.
He made it a sexy Sunday. So appreciate Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Jarrett Sutton, former Missouri Tiger, SEC Network, NBA scout, talking Mizzou. Good stuff there. We have the NBA this afternoon here on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 3 o'clock, San Antonio against Cleveland. So Jarrett Sutton talked a little NBA with us and Mizzou basketball. And Matt Verderam just wrapped up with him from FanSided, talking Chiefs and the Marcus Peters trade. So a couple of final national notes here. Of course, the FBI investigation into college basketball hit everybody. Hit a lot of schools this week, particularly the University of Arizona, where head coach Sean Miller was reportedly heard on tape discussing a $100,000 payment to DeAndre Ayton. So last night, Arizona was playing at Oregon. Sean Miller was not allowed to coach in the game. The school said he would not coach, so he did not coach. But DeAndre Ayton was allowed to play, and it went to overtime. Oregon won 98-93, but DeAndre Ayton's lawyer has now come out, said allegations are false, and he urged the FBI, the NCAA, and the University of Arizona to come out publicly and clear his name. Also, for the University of Arizona, they were planning on having Shaquille O'Neal's son, Sharif, on campus in Tucson next year. Imagine the big Aristotle rolling around Tucson, going to University of Arizona games. Well, Shaq's son, Sharif, has now decommitted from Arizona. So Sharif O'Neal no longer going to Arizona, at least decommitted. Top 30 prospect. He tweeted out, this is Sharif O'Neal, Shaquille O'Neal's son. At this time, I am opening up my recruitment due to the current events at the U of A basketball team. I would like to thank all the coaches for recruiting me. At the time, my family and I think it's in my best interest to look at other options to assure my play in the NCAA next year. So there's the burst. And I wonder, you know, that was the big one. DeAndre Ayton and Stephen Miller, or rather, Sean Miller being discussed on tape. Coach Miller was caught on tape, allegedly, by the FBI talking about a $100,000 payment to ensure that he goes to the U of A. This is what I don't get. Okay, I understand this goes on in college basketball. It's been going on for decades. Paying players. Illegally paying players. Against the rule to pay players. I get it. It's been going on. But if you're Sean Miller, or if you're the University of Arizona, why would you discuss a $100,000 payment for a player who's going to be a one and done? $100,000 for 1 year? Seriously? Is that where some of these programs are? And this will all come out. This is going to drip, drip, drip for, gosh, at the pace these investigations go, two years, 3 years, 4 years. But $100,000 for a player who's going to be a one and done? That makes absolutely no sense in my world. At all. How many more tickets are you going to sell? How much more merchandise are you going to sell? Were you under the false assumption that getting DeAndre Ayton would guarantee you a spot in the Final Four? Okay, now that's where you're talking about money for schools. Final Four appearances. But $100,000 for one player for 1 year? That's what you're going to risk your career for? Does not make sense in my world. Of course, as Darren Revelle pointed out, or at least tweeted yesterday, that Sean Miller's contract with the University of Arizona will actually pay him an extra $5 million to go away in the event that he's fired for cause. For cause! He gets an extra $5 million. He and Charlie Weiss must share the same agent.
A good agent.
All right, so we got about 90 seconds left here. So I'll say this. Jed has set a positive theme for today with all the music. A lot of kids in the metro area, junior high kids and grade school kids, are playing in basketball tournaments this weekend and next weekend. And I've got kids playing in the Catholic League and games all weekend. And I just looked down at my cell phone, and my oldest son is calling me in the middle of the show.
And which it's the end of the show.
Clearly says he's not listening, but that's okay. So I want to wish all the kids, especially if you—I don't want to say the name of our school because then I'm just if you're going to a kids' basketball game this weekend, good luck and have fun. You know, referees get paid what, $20 a game? You don't have to ride the referees. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your kids' experience. I can't tell you the record from one season of any of my kids' years of playing grade school basketball. I know we've won championships. I can't tell you how many. I enjoy it. They win trophies. They win medals. Great. If they don't, great. If they go 1-10, whatever, great. I'm there to watch them become better players and better people. That's the most important thing. So if you're out there at a grade school game today, enjoy it. Have fun. Before you scream 3 seconds, which happens every 3 seconds, grade school, just take a break. Enjoy the game. My thanks to Jesse Newell, Tim Fitzgerald, Jared Sutton, and Matt Verderam. Thank you also to our producer, Jed Marshall. The Royal Spring Training Special with Soren Petro, Curtis Siebold, and Fast Talking Rob is coming up next. And then at 3 o'clock, the NBA, San Antonio and Cleveland. I am Brad Porter. Thanks for joining us on Sports Sunday from the Rally House Studios at Sports Radio 810 WHB.